again today te tuene tina koe Karanina, kia ora nau atu.
Atamari e Dale, atamari e to our whanau listening.
Kia ora, I was a bit taken by those stats too. Pretty rank, isn't it, when you look at the pay gaps. And there's no denying it. It's almost racist. You'd have to think of why this should be occurring in 2023. What would you say about the cumulative impacts of the Māori pay gap over a lifetime on families and generations? Sometimes it can be stacked up towards half a mil in shortened incomes across a lifetime. What would you say of these pay gaps that we are talking about, Karanina?
Yeah, well, absolutely, because if we look over a lifetime, so we've done some stats over that, and for a Māori wahine, we're looking at a difference of around 400,000, you know, over a 40-year, working lifetime. So I think, you know, for that money, you could have bought a house, right? You could have probably started a business. You could have provided opportunities, you know, for our tamariki. Like all those missed opportunities has come as a result. And as we go from one generation to the next, you know, we've heard stories about, you know, some of our young people, you know, leaving school and working 40-hour weeks to try and help whānau. So that's the generational transfer of that hardship and that poverty because of pay inequity. And, you know, you and I know that discrimination happens in our workplaces. It's happened in society. And for Māori who've lived with it longest in Aotearoa, there's real urgency to address, you know, to address this inequity and help our businesses do the right thing. And we know, you know, a lot of our businesses are working really hard. Certainly the public service have been working hard on closing the Māori pay gap. And, you know, some good news is that for the pay gap for Māori women, it's actually now lower than the general pay gap. So progress is being made, but it needs to move faster. But in terms of our private sector, Dale, we have no idea what the pay gap is for our Māori women in the private sector. And we really need to focus there because the majority of Māori wahine and our Māori tāne are in the private sector. So it's really urgent for us now, especially now. I mean, we all know our cost of living and everything is so, it's a struggle. But that's an unnecessary struggle if we had addressed pay inequity and addressed discrimination way back. So we need to act now and take responsibility for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a racist system, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That have kept ethnicity at the lower end of town. And, of course, our Pacifica Kazis arrived as well. And were the factory workers who helped to have great growth and therefore huge profits for predominantly Pākehā-owned organisations. So we can't help but see a racial segment to the stats that we're talking about. You're an advocate for pay transparency. What might that mean if, you know, people in the workplace knew what others were earning? At least then you could question, how come he's getting this and I'm getting this?
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, talking about money is not a taboo subject for us, you know, for Polynesians, you know, for Pacific and Māori. But for others, it's uncomfortable. For us, we talk about it all the time, and often it's because we are struggling to make ends meet. So pay transparency, to put it in very simple terms, is, for example, whenever someone puts out an ad for a job, the pay is required to be there. You know, the salary range is required to be there. If we've got employment contracts, that remove all clauses that forbids people to talk about pay, because those clauses still exist. But, of course, people talk about pay anyway, so they're going to find out whether they're being paid unfairly compared to someone else who's performing at the same level, same qualification, that sort of thing. And then we're going to be asking all businesses, we want all businesses to be asked to look at their ethnic and their gender pay gap at least. Because when you gather that data, then you can see if you've got a problem. Then you can see how come everybody, every time there's a promotion or, you know, someone going to executive level, it's not Māori or Pacific or someone of our Asian whanaunga. You know, it makes them look at their practices and question their recruitment. You know, even at the recruitment level, Dale, our people are missing out before they even get to the interview. There's discrimination at that first screening process. So we want them to look at that, and pay transparency legislation is going to help us do that. One of my worries, Dale, is pay transparency legislation might just focus on gender. We know, you and I and our listeners know, that discrimination, as you say, exists. So we must also include ethnicity in that pay transparency legislation. So people are are made to look at that and address any issues that are. It also helps our workers give voice to them to raise their complaints and not feel whakamā about it or feel that they might lose a job. You know, it gives them power to stand up for themselves.
Tēnā koe, Karanina. Has there been any supportive rhetoric from political parties to this pay transparency kaupapa that you want to advance? Have you got someone to go into bat for legislation of that sort?
Well, certainly we've approached the current government around Minister Tineti and another Minister for Women, Tracy Haupapa, who everybody knows, is chairing a particular committee that's looking at this piece of work. So we've got a bit of support there. We've also lobbied the ACT Party, the National Party. We don't mind if people disagree with us. We want them to know that this is important to people. It's most important to our most vulnerable communities. And just in May this year, we did a survey. And really interesting, across the political spectrum, you know, we asked people who they're going to likely to vote for. And across the political spectrum, there is wide support for pay transparency. Only 8% actually oppose it. So that's a really strong signal to all our politicians, some who may be listening. Our people want this to happen. They want fairness. They want equal opportunity. They want a dignified life for them and their whānau. So please listen to the call from the public and act.
You know, we've heard some amazing stories about sacrifice, particularly from, I'm aware of Pacifica peoples who come over. Mum works as a cleaner, dad's got two jobs, they just go flat out, hardly ever see their kids, trying to get a better opportunity for those. And then we're seeing the opportunities as they go through varsity and get better jobs. But what we do know is that this shortage in what we're being paid, and let's just remind you at home today, for every dollar a Pākehā male earns, a Pacifica woman gets 75%, righto? So there's a quarter that she's missing out on right from the get-go. And as Karanina has mentioned, that could be a deposit towards a home through the course of a working life. And so this pay gap is intolerable, and we must fight to address it. If you don't raise issues as you are like this, as the Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner, Karanina, then it will just continue. If we don't do something, we'll get what we've always gotten, eh?
Absolutely. And, you know, pay transparency, by looking at addressing pay equity, I mean, eliminating discrimination, then our people are not waiting on the government to give an extra $20 here or an extra subsidy here. You know, we want to determine our own path in life. We want to determine the futures of our own children. So help us, give us the rights, you know, that we are all entitled to equal pay, fair pay for the work. We don't want discrimination. Remove that burden from our people. Ask the businesses to step up and obey the law. That is what we're wanting. And our businesses, like you say, we're crying out for talent. You know, we want the gates open to let in our migrant brothers and sisters to come and help us. And yet you've got this huge talent of people who are already here. And as you say, some have been working for, you know, well, to be quite honest, some of them are working for generations for the same firm, but still at that minimum wage, very barely living wage, you know. But their commitment has helped our firms become prosperous and helped our country become, you know, economically leading in many places. So it's not fair that that some in our population are left to earn the minimum when we have this enormous wealth that others are experiencing. So we want fair and equity for everybody in Aotearoa.
Tēnā koe. I have to be honest with you, mind you, I'm a granddad now, and I was raised where it was uncomfortable to talk about religion, politics, and incomes. That's just been the way of it. And to be honest, I'd feel uncomfortable asking you what you earned. And if you asked me, I probably wouldn't tell you. But you know, this is the climate that we've grown up in. Finances are sort of kept to yourself. And perhaps that's part of the reason that we're unable to get more traction on this idea of having pay transparency. It's almost an embedded culture, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the problem. So secrecy then covers up the inequity. Secrecy covers up the inequality, and secrecy means that, you know, for our struggling Kaumatua came before from the islands, that secrecy has kept them there. and then that hardship gets transferred to the next generation. You said before, you know, now we've got kids, we've got degrees and that. Well, even with degrees and that, the pay inequity is still existing because we still have problems with discrimination in our workplaces. So we have to address it, and we can't expect the people who have survived that discrimination to be the ones to sort it out. We need government, we need our businesses, we need our people in power to do their job and to make things right and ensure our people have their fundamental rights. So, yes, the secrecy is what covers up a lot of things, and we know that. So we need to lift the secrecy and free our people from this financial burden and hardship and poverty that our children and the next generation, like our grandchildren, will likely go into if we don't address it now.
Tēnā koe, always neat to have you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us, Karanina. It's a pleasure.
Kia ora,
Dale. Mauri ora, kia koe. That's our Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner, Sonoa Ma'ali'i, Dr. Karanina Sumeo, with us on Pāki Waha. Kia ora, e hoama, 8:43. We're going to take a break and then talk meningococcal B vaccines with prominent Māori paediatrician Dr. Owen Sinclair is next on Pāki Waha. You're 603 Urban Māori Radio. Thanks so much for your time today. I think JT's just about to come through for us. I tried ringing him earlier, but to no avail. Anyway, his kōrero was perhaps superseded by that of Hana Rawhiti Maipi Clark, an impressive young wahine. And certainly wish her well on the hustings. She might be the youngest candidate standing for Parliament this year. Hey, JT.